Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today. What an exciting day that we have together. As we continue along in the Gospels, I hope you have your Bible as we follow along. Today we're in Luke chapter 13. As we read about the importance that how we need to repent or perish, and then we'll be looking at the fig tree. In verse 1, we read, "There were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans, or the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish.'" Who were these Galileans that he's talking about? Well, we know through history that they were the well-known revolutionaries, and perhaps they had started some kind of insurrection against Rome at the feast. And so Pilate had them slain, and their blood, as we saw in Scripture here, as we just read, the blood had been mingled with the blood of the sacrifice that they were offering. And so it was some type of horrifying incident, and so they wanted to know. The question really is that, or Jesus was saying, he says, was there, did they repent? Are they worse off? Are they worse off than everybody else living up there in the area of Galilee? And Jesus simply says, he goes, "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." See, sometimes people like to put a degree of sin. One sinner is worse than the other sin. In reality, we've all been designated as sinners. Otherwise, that word armathia in the Greek, meaning that we've all missed the mark, that what God would have us to live by. And so thus we're all under that place, that judgment that sin brings us, that judgment of death for eternity separated from God, unless we repent. And that's the key. If we're willing to repent, otherwise sorrow come to a place where we truly sorrow over our sinful condition. Not just feeling sorry for ourselves, but have that godly sorrow where we realize how much we need Him. He says those that repent, now there's a different story for them. They will be able to reap the benefits that God has for them of living for eternity with them. And then he goes on in verse 4, he says, "Or those 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You know, when I look at this, I'm glad that Jesus brought this up. Because so often you hear nowadays, especially what you call those televangelist preachers, that want to say that, you know what, you're sick because you don't have enough faith. You're not being healed because there's something wrong with you. Obviously, you got sin in your life. But you know what, this tower just fell upon these 18 people. Sometimes things just happen. It's not if I have enough faith or don't have enough faith. Jesus, I think, here is talking about this: the Judeans who lived there in Jerusalem looked down at those Gentiles in Galilee as less spiritual. And Jesus brings up a tragedy that took place in Jerusalem where evidently 18 people were killed. But he points out that it wasn't because they were worse sinners than the other men in Jerusalem. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And so there's a key, I think, for us. The key is that we all are in the same boat. We all need Jesus as our Savior. There isn't such a thing as self-righteousness that will make us righteous with God. It's Christ's righteousness that makes us right before God. I hope that we understand that, and that we just each and every day thank God for the work that He did upon our lives, that God imputed the righteousness that's in Christ upon us. Oh, we should be very thankful, so grateful for the things that God has done for us. And then he goes on and he speaks a parable in verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none." He said, "Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered, he said unto him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it, and it will bear fruit well. But if not, after that you could cut it down." Of course, the fig tree is often used in the Bible as it symbolizes the nation of Israel. At this point, they were obviously in a process of rejecting the Messiah. But Jesus was letting them know he was giving them another chance. You know, part of what we see of God is how God is so very long-suffering. How he's given the nation Israel opportunities and over opportunities from time and time again to know God and to walk with God. And how many times have they rejected him? And here's now Jesus walking among them, and they're rejecting Jesus. But yet he's saying, you know what, let's keep that tree around. Let's keep that fig tree around, and let's fertilize it for another year, and let's see if it'll start bearing fruit. How many times do we fail to bear fruit, yet Jesus asks for another chance for us? How many times have we fallen short of the things that God would do for us? When our life should be bearing fruit, it just doesn't. And I think it's so marvelous about God is how gracious he is to us. We need to be aware that the last chance will come. We really can't afford to assume that we will be keeping or getting many more chances, because we won't. And as he said, if it bears fruit, well. If it bears fruit, good for it. But if not, after that, cut it down. You know, when you go to the book of Revelation and you start reading the different churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, as you look at it, it's almost like the Lord is looking at the churches there and he's given them almost like a report card of where they stand and where they're at. And as you look at chapter 2, it opens up with the church of Ephesus as it deals with the loveless church. He says, "These things, he who holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And he says about Ephesus, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say their apostles are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevere and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary." You know, at this point you go, my goodness, this church is doing really well. This church is doing what they're supposed to do. But then he goes on, he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love." See, the fruit that Jesus was trying to have the nation of Israel to bear was the fruit of love, the things that would represent God most. We as Christians, that's the fruit that we should be bearing, even as Paul describes it in Galatians chapter 6, where he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he says the outgoing of that love is joy and peace and long-suffering, and as you would read through that verse. My question is, are you bearing fruit? He says, if you're not bearing fruit, Jesus said to the church there in Ephesus, he says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen." And he says, "Repent." Again, the same word that we saw in our story. It is to take time to consider your action. He says, "Repent and do the first works." Go back to the beginning. Go back to the place where you would just simply fall in love with Jesus and your desire to serve him and your desire to live for him. He says, "Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand stand from its place. And so here, even as we read, the chances that God gives us are many. But there's a time where the chances run out, where we have fallen so far away from God, where our hearts become so callous, even like in the story of Exodus when Moses went before the Pharaoh, how his heart became so stiffened, so hardened to the things of God. May we always be pliable. May we always remain to be teachable. We don't get so caught up in our pride and who we are that we lose sight of God's Holy Spirit working on our lives, that we might truly bear fruit, the fruit of love, in our lives to the people that God brings into our lives. So God, would you please help us this day? Will you please help us in the areas that we need to repent, Lord, that we truly do repent, and that we would turn to you and commit our lives daily, that we present our lives to you as a living sacrifice. We thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.